Growing Through the Word. Hi, this is Carl Kosar from the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue in our series entitled, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet, the Bible for Today. To help us explore this important topic, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me again for this discussion, Dr. Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies, and Dr. Dave Thomas, the Dean of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Gentlemen, welcome again, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Carl. Nice to be. Greetings, Carl.
Growing Through the Word. Recently, a well-known church researcher, George Barna, conducted a survey of American Christians and their Christian experience. I had some very discouraging findings. He says, among the individuals who are classified as born-again Christians because of their commitment to Christ and their belief in salvation by grace and their personal confession of sins, one out of every four indicated that they had not experienced great life transformation attributable to their faith. He goes on to say that questions the nature of their commitment to Christ, and this represents more than 20 million adults who consider themselves to be devoted to Jesus Christ, but who also claim that their life has not been dramatically changed by that relationship. He goes on to make one more statement. He says, perhaps this suggests that the religious community has become more adept at marketing Christian principles than modeling a genuine, life-changing connection with Christ. This week's lesson gives us a chance to deal with this issue. Gentlemen, what, in your opinion, do you think accounts for this decreasing role of the Bible as one of the main reasons for life transformation, that people aren't being transformed? What do you think?
There's a serious disconnect between belief and practice. I think that one of the great diminishers and one of the great temptations down through the ages of Christians was that if you have your beliefs right, you will be saved. It's a form of Gnosticism.
Interesting.
You know, and I believe the right thing.
I should point
out. It's cognitive.
Out, yes, that's very true. It's just all the mental capacity, a list of beliefs. And I forgot to mention in our introduction here that of this study they did, of those who were transformed, they asked them why they were transformed. And the least transforming indication was the reading of Scripture at only 10%. Friends, family, churches, you know, worship styles. The last one on the list was actually the reading of Scripture.
Wow.
Very troubling.
Yeah,
very troubling.
That is, yeah. Well, you know, I looked at those figures from George Barna, and I read a response to them in which they noted that if you factor in people who claim to be born again who also go to church, that the numbers are way better than this.
Yes.
So it apparently indicates that there are a lot of people who are claiming born again status, but you know, they're not really involving themselves in the life of a Christian community. But to go to your question, Carl, I think there are two responses I would make. The first is that the Bible is not a very easy book to understand and assimilate. Some portions of it are, but you know, you experiment. You take somebody who doesn't know anything about the Bible and just give them the Bible and say, you go read your way through that. That's God's word to you. There are all kinds of complexities that they will, you know, they'll rejoice in the stories and so forth. But the Bible is a book that requires very careful, diligent, and highly cognitive effort. And ours is an era where people are not very keen on that. I think a second element why there's not much transformation is that the essential ingredient of being a Christian is a very difficult one, because it asks you to surrender your will and ambitions to the will and ambitions that God has.
Issue of submission.
Yes. Yeah. Or as the old evangelists used to refer to as surrender. You know, in an age where we are very individualistic, where the goal is me and what's going to happen for me, the heart of Christianity does not play very well. And I think that people like the trappings of Christianity, but they don't like its essential message, which means that you must wrestle with God until God wins.
So it's easier to talk about what the Bible teaches about life after death, what it teaches about heaven, but when it comes down to...
Or it's easier just to have a happy time and call myself a Christian. But it is impossible to live as a Christian without coming into a contest of wills at some point between you and what you believe God wants you to do. How many of us are willing to allow the will of God to prevail at the expense of our own.
Mm.
That's contrary to human nature.
Yeah.
But the essence of Christianity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I think is where the growth point of Christianity occurs, is that every time that I surrender my will to what I believe is the will of God, Dave Thomas grows.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he doesn't, he declines.
This raises an interesting question for me, because as I went through the regular Bible lesson guides, in Sunday's lesson it stated that there was a need for growth in the Christian life.
Yes.
I think
yeah.
we all would agree, but it never explicitly states the reason why. So my question is, why in your opinion is such a need a necessary? If one can be saved as a babe in Christ,
mm-hmm.
Why should we be concerned about growing into spiritual maturity?
Hmm.
What's the motivation? Why do we need to grow?
If you don't grow, you die.
Hmm.
But I mean, you see, that question is kind of like asking, if you can be a human being as a baby, why would you want to grow to adulthood?
Well, yeah. Paul has this yeah. challenge in his churches. He talks
yeah.
about
yeah.
you know, them being babes in Christ. They should
yeah.
be having eating the real meat and not drinking the milk.
Yeah, and he's pretty tough on them. He tells them they need to go back and learn the elementary things of
ABCs
yeah.
again.
ABCs yeah. of faith.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think it's not without. There's a passage that we don't like. At least when I was a kid, I didn't like
mm-hmm.
it. And that was, the narrow way leads
yeah.
to life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The broad way doesn't. And it comes down to human nature, the really yeah. hard work. I have more and more come to the opinion that we have misunderstood the word faith. Faith remains cerebral. It remains mental assent in too many people's mm. lives,
yes.
whereas faith is actually commitment, and that's exactly what mm. you've been talking about, Dave. That the commitment is
yes.
submission.
Yes. yes,
it's saying yeah. yes to God and no to my selfish self.
This is the challenge. In fact, we talked about this in my Christian beliefs class this earlier this week. We talked about, what is faith? Well, it's
yeah.
it's the cognitive knowledge first. You
yeah.
need the information.
Yeah.
It's the assent to that knowledge.
Yes.
But then it results in obedience, because
yeah.
it changes. I mean,
yeah.
if you believe something, then you act upon it. But that last part gets kind of tricky for
it. It does. You know what got me onto that, Carl? And you teach Romans, so. At the beginning of Romans and at the end of Romans, you have the obedience of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith that obeys.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, namely obedience. One could take yeah. it
yes.
that way, too.
It makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
Which I also think we misunderstand what surrender means. The surrendering, as I understand it, is a surrendering of autonomy, not the surrendering yeah. of individuality
mm-hmm.
or,
that's right.
or of decision-making ability. Or of personality, or of person. It is the surrender of autonomy.
Mm. Well, that is, for me,
see,
a
very,
very important.
And so to sing, I surrender all, we need to know what that means.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people don't like to surrender because they think they're giving up their personhood.
Mm. That's right.
And that's contrary
yes.
to creation. God gave you a sense of personhood and conscience, and he gave you a mind and a will that you must preserve.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just, would you bend them in the direction of the designs of God?
It's interesting. It reminds me of a conversation I had someone with who had a very bitter experience towards the Adventist Church, and I met him in my doctoral studies, and he said, Adventist and scholar, that's an oxymoron.
Oh, dear.
And there was this issue, though, of the idea of
yeah.
if you submit, do you become a non-thinker?
Yeah.
Do you give up your individuality? And I think clearly the answer is no.
No, you don't.
God calls us to be thinkers, and there's things we grapple with.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the major misunderstandings where Jesus says, if you lose your life, you'll
mm.
find it. And if you, you know, if you let go of your life,
yes.
you'll find it. But if you save your life, you lose it.
What do you mean? It's one of the most misunderstandings.
I think people have understood it in precisely the terms that you have mentioned here.
Oh.
That autonomy is what needs to be lost,
mm-hmm.
but individuality isn't lost with it.
Yeah. Nor the decision to, nor
yes.
the ability to decide.
Yes.
And see, I like to tell people to remember that as a Christian, God is in the business of preserving your capacity to choose.
Yes. yes. Very much
that
so.
If you follow, if you look at the mechanisms of the devil, he will embroil you so much in evil that you mm-hmm. cannot make a decision against him.
That's right.
But you could live as a Christian for 90 years and mm-hmm. still be free to mm-hmm. choose to go elsewhere.
Yes. I like that.
I'd like to direct our conversation in a little different direction. We talked about the need for growth and how important that is, but Let's put it in, you know, real flesh and blood. Let's say a new believer wants to grow in Christ. What advice would we give that person, him or her, about how to read the Bible, where to begin reading? I mean, how do you grow? How does that process in concrete form? What would you say? Where do they start? And we said we just don't give them the Bible.
Well,
where do they start in the Bible?
I think because Jesus is the primary revelation of God, they ought to start in the Gospels. They ought to learn about Jesus, and they ought to read about that, and they ought to, you know, I think a key element here is not just accumulating knowledge, but meditating on that and asking, what does this tell me about God? What does it tell me about myself? Yeah. What in my life needs to be adjusted to be in harmony with what I understand here?
Those are three great steps.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three great steps.
Let's repeat those again for our listeners.
Well, I think you should start reading in the Gospels because it's about Jesus, and then you should ask the question, what does this tell me about God? What does it tell me about myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what sense do I have of things in my life that need to be adjusted to fit with what I'm learning?
Yes.
That's how growth takes place.
Yes. And it's not without reason that they say you have growing pains. This is not an easy path.
No. And see, I found out many years ago that the Holy Spirit, who presides over this process, will select precisely the things that you cherish the most to tangle with first.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit will go right where you don't want him to go, because he knows that that is what is going to hinder your growth.
Yeah.
So it produces discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge of growth.
I think that the growth metaphor is one of the most powerful in the New Testament. Paul uses it a lot.
Ephesians.
Yes. Yeah. It's used a lot.
Rooted and grounded.
Yeah.
And whole idea of growing to maturity.
Growing to maturity.
Be perfect is a statement of maturity.
Of maturity. Yeah. And if you go to Philippians chapter 3, there's growth gets you away from legalism, but it also preserves you from perfectionism.
Hmm. How's that?
Because you haven't arrived. You're on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says so there. Not that I've already arrived, but I press towards the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Not I have achieved status.
Not that I have achieved, but it's the journey.
Mm-hmm.
God has the goal finally on the other side
when
Jesus comes. Too many people think they have to achieve that here and now. But growth is, for me, the important thing.
Of course, this is the good news, is that in Christ, we're perfect. And that growing process gives us assurance. In that process,
that's
as
right.
we have our peaks and our valleys,
that's right.
That we are accepted in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and it gives us hope to keep going.
Yeah.
And God, I think, has blessed us. I look back at my life and the ways he's allowed me to grow when there's still so much room to grow.
Yeah, and I think it's a serious question to ask about the trend of your life
as
a Christian. Mm-hmm. Which way is my life trending?
Yeah.
Mm. Gentlemen, once again, this has been a very stimulating conversation. So I want to give special thanks to Dr. Bruce Johansson, Dr. Dave Thomas, and, of course, for Susan Michael for making all this happen. And, of course, to you, our faithful listeners of Probe. Please join us again next week as we continue to explore the importance the Bible has for us today. And so for Probe, thank you again. I am Carl Kosar.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.